I think that the SEC is one of the best conferences in the country. I think Georgia is one of the best teams in the country, and I think that they're one of the best four teams in the country. I think if we beat them, we'd be one of the best four teams in the country because, you know, teams do, there's a transformation that goes through the season. So how are you playing now? Where is your team now? How good are you now? I think all those things, you know, come into play. But I think it would be a disrespect to the SEC if there is an SEC representation in the Final Four. I do believe that.
You're locked in the press box.
Disrespectful to the SEC. I gotta ask.
I mean,
you,
there's gonna be a team, obviously, because if he wins, he'll probably get in as the SEC champion. If Georgia wins, they're number one seed.
They both get left out. I gotta ask you: is it disrespectful for Boise State to write funny media notes about UNLV ahead of the championship?
Okay, so here's the thing: you're gonna love it. That's absolutely like a slam dunk. I think it's complete buffoonery.
All right, let me read this. So
SID is.
This is each school has media relations departments, and they put out like game notes every game that is distributed to the media. And there's a lot of season statistics. There's a lot of
depth charts, stats,
facts,
bios,
on why, like the previous histories, and a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah.
And in Boise State, they sort of have like a, you know, scouting UNLV with a bunch of bullet points about UNLV. And I'll read some of them for you. They say, despite all the glitz and glamour in Sin City, all that glitters is not necessarily gold for the Rebels. UNLV enters this week looking to win its second conference championship ever and first since 1994. Anything wrong with that?
It's factual.
Okay.
It's factual.
All right. The next one. If you think we're forgetting something, we are certainly not. Yes, UNLV won the Pacific Coast Athletic Conference in 1984, but later had to forfeit the title due to using ineligible players. No, that team was not coached by Jerry Tarkanian.
Now, was it 94 or 84? Because they've given us two. They've given us two dates.
First or second conference championship ever. So here's what they were doing. UNLV won a conference championship in 84 and 94.
So it's first since.
So they have two.
Since.
But one of them was forfeited because they used an eligible player, so Boise State saying this would be their second, and then said the reason we're saying this is their second is because that first one was forfeited.
I knew going in we were going to totally be on opposite sides of this. I think this guy's a complete buffoon.
It's so good.
I think he's a complete buffoon.
Which part of it, though?
Why are you taking a shot at Tark?
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? Because why are you doing that? What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do? Look, you're smiling over there. Whose side are you on this?
I mean, I'm with you. I think it's very ridiculous.
It's just stupidity.
Yeah. I guess I can understand why they did it, try and get people riled up and get them excited for the game, and they're looking down on UNLV because UNLV has been sort of bottom of the barrel for the last 20 years.
Okay, but why does Boise State, which has been the standard bearer of the program, need to do that?
Because, I don't know.
I mean, if anybody should not feel insecure about anything, it should be Boise State. They're like, haven't they been in this thing like seven times or something like
right.
that? Some kind of stupid number like that?
Because they're scared, Ed.
Maybe
they're
they've
scared.
Been taking shots at everybody they play, and we just don't pay
attention.
Oh,
he tries to be funny on a weekly basis.
Does he?
Yes, he tries to be funny.
I like
and here's
this
the thing
guy.
In writing. Here's the thing in writing. The worst thing you can do in writing is try to be funny, not be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's but I worst. Think it's funny.
Well, of course you do. We knew going in what you were going to say about this.
You're a different person, Tyler.
Yes.
I'm the target audience, apparently.
You and all of Bronco Nation. Isn't that what they call themselves up there?
This is phenomenal. This is from the media relations department. That's why I love it.
Total buffoonery.
This isn't like somebody who's just a Boise State fan who's making
no,
fun of
No, this
UNLV.
Guy's in charge.
It's
That's
great.
What makes it worse.
Yeah, no, that makes it better.
No, it does not.
Yes.
It makes it worse.
It's phenomenal. I love it.
Taking that much time to come up with all that stuff? Just write a bunch of notes. Just write what they've done this year. Write what their record is and move on.
No, you have to do a – you got to scout UNLV. He's scouting them.
Okay, scout your favorite player then.
Oh, Jose Pizano.
Yeah, scout him.
Ooh, they should write a bunch about
yeah.
Jose
Pizano. Yeah, but see, write a bunch about that guy.
See, what you got to do is you got to scout someone from the opposing team. Because if he scouts Pizano, he's going to give him a ton of praise. He's got to do what this guy did, so he's got to scout a Boise State player.
No, I was saying the Boise State notes guy. Scout Jose Pizano.
Yeah.
give a bunch of notes about him.
Who knows what he would say? I'm sure he would try to find something.
He would just try to make up jokes about him.
Like, I mean, he went, the SID went as far as to write about, like, the history of UNLV as a school.
Oh, here we go. You ready for this? UNLV's mascot is based on the university split from their literal northern rival, University of Nevada, Reno in parentheses. So UNLV fans should love him. He put Reno in there. And not on any direct reference to the actual Confederacy, as UNLV was once a southern campus of the University of Nevada, Reno, when it became its own university. UNLV was seen as literally the South splitting from the North. That makes sense, as we don't recall the Battle of Henderson marking as a turning point in the Civil War. UNLV's original mascot, Beauregard, was a wolf in a Confederate gray uniform, so perhaps the textbooks at that high school weren't as accurate as we would have hoped for.
Buffoonery.
And the high school in reference, stupidity. I'm assuming, is Las Vegas High School, right? Because that's where the original classes were?
Yes, Las Vegas High School.
Las Vegas High.
Yeah.
So? The Battle of Henderson.
And they even made they kind of joked about Shadow Lanes campus, because they're like the satellite
neither
campus.
None of us, although Danny, you're an alum, yes?
Two-time alum.
Okay, two-time alum. So you've got kind of the, what? What'd you say? You've got kind of the bias here, which is understandable because this is your school.
Yeah.
That's fine. Tyler and I don't have a horse in the race. We don't really care if they win or lose. We're just there to cover it.
No, we both want them to win, so they play UCLA.
All right, I stand corrected.
I don't want them to play Miami.
Okay, I want them to play UCLA because correct me if I'm wrong out there, but I think that's the only bowl game that the Mountain West is involved with that has a Power 5 opponent.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and there's a lot of bowl games.
They could potentially, because there's not enough bowl eligible teams, they could potentially get mixed around. But
right.
Yes, it is the only affiliate with a Power Conference
okay,
team.
So you want them to play that game. But Tyler and I knew we'd be opposite sides of this, like going in.
This
guy's a complete buffoon for doing this.
One of my buddies is loving it. He lives up in Boise. And,
oh, well.
And he went to UNR. Even though he lived here in Vegas for like 10 or 15 years, he despises UNLV. So
sure, he went to UNR.
So he keeps commenting on all my stuff. Like I tweeted out about Barry Odom coming on. He responded with a GIF of Kellen Moore at Boise State. I'm like, get out of here.
So here's a question for you. Are people mad that there's a little Jerry Tarkanian note? Is that the only thing?
I think that's a key one. I do think that's a key one.
If he had just said, if you think we're forgetting something, we are certainly not. Yes, UNLV won the Pacific Coast Athletic Conference in 1984, but later had to forfeit the title due to using ineligible players.
I think they would have been mad at that too, because the question would be, what's the point? Why do you need to say that? Why can't you just say they last won a conference title in 1994 and just move on?
Well, they're highlighting UNLV's conference championships because they're playing for a conference championship.
Okay.
They're just pointing out that they cheated.
That's the thing. If you're upset about the Jerry Tarkanian thing, okay, it is a sideswipe, but it's funny, so I like it. But I don't think you should be mad that they're bringing up UNLV had to forfeit a conference championship for using ineligible players when UNLV's conference championship history is two teams. Like, they've only ever done this twice.
Yeah.
One of them does not count anymore.
Yeah, if it was like Alabama where they have a ton of championships and you're talking about one from the 60s, then that's
kind of
weird.
You're a two-time alum. You should be on my side on this.
Trust me, I am. I think it wasn't necessary to do as much as they did.
It's ridiculous. SID.
I think he could have done more.
I'm sure he wanted to. He probably didn't have
the room. Yeah, he probably ran out of space, this guy. He only had so much space for the UNLV scouting report.
Should have done more. Yeah.
I'm with you, Ed. Don't worry.
It's not printed out. He could have made it as many pages as he wanted.
No, they have to. Don't they put it in the guidebook?
I don't think they print those things out anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, they do.
We get it every Monday at the press conference.
You still get a printed out
sure.
version? Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Absolutely.
That's not good.
Why not?
We got trees, Ed. We got to save the trees.
They don't make them out of palm trees. We got trees here.
Because here's what I'm guessing, by the way. UNLV claims the 1984 PCAC championship.
Yeah.
Okay.
They used ineligible players. They should not be allowed to claim it. So if you're going to claim one that the NCAA took away, I'm perfectly fine with another school saying, haha, that got taken away from you. You can't claim it.
I just think it kind of screams of some insecurity that Boise State shouldn't have.
They're scared.
If there's one program in that entire conference who should never be insecure about anything, it's Boise State.
It's fine.
All they've done is one.
Shots. You know who needs to take some shots? Get Brian Dutcher out here taking some shots. You know what I'm
he
tired?
He wouldn't take shots.
I know, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Brian Dutcher saying, UNLV, what a great program. He loves that UNLV sucks. He gets two wins every year. Brian Dutcher needs to come out and be like, they suck. They're terrible. And it's great because we get to beat them every time. Because that, you know, that's how he feels. He's probably one that gives the quote, well, the conference is better when UNLV's good. Yeah, he doesn't care. He'd rather get two free wins. He'd rather they all suck. We're like, ah, we wish UNLV and New Mexico were good. That's when the conference is at its best. Not if you're at any other school. You hope those two teams are disasters forever. So come out and say it. Be fun.
Dutch would never do that.
I need Kevin Kruger to rip San Diego State.
Now, what would he say?
I don't know. We're tired of them being good. We're going to beat the hell out of them. I don't know. Say something. Did they use any ineligible players last year? Take away the Final Four banner. Be great. We need more of this. I don't even know who's the interim coach at Boise State. He needs to rip somebody.
Nobody
today.
Knows.
He'll be there today at the press conference.
Let Barry Odom rip somebody.
He'll be at the press conference today, the interim coach, along with Barry Odom and Gloria Navarez.
We need Barry Odom to walk in and be like, Boise State, never heard of them. They suck.
Talk about the running back?
That's right. He's terrible. We're going to hold him to negative yardage today, tomorrow. Be great.
Tomorrow.
I want some trash talk out of these coaches. Just let the SID talk instead. He'll be better.
I want.
Yeah, that guy will be there today, handing out notes.
Ooh, get one of these in paper.
I'll give it to Odom.
Yeah.
Have him look it over right before his press conference.
It'll be great. Oh, it's phenomenal. This is the best media relations note of all time.
The easiest call where we were on opposite sides of this.
Yeah, probably.
That was the easiest call of the day.
It's a great joke.
And I more think it's buffoonery for someone from Boise State doing this than I am, hey, let's defend UNLV. Because, again, I'm just there to cover a game. You're just there to cover a game. We make fun of, yeah, we'd like to see him play UCLA, which is true. I'd rather, if you're going to watch a game, you'd rather watch him play against a Power 5 opponent. But either way, it's whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We'll report on it. So it's not more defending UNLV than it is this guy's a complete buffoon.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you think about it, it's basically the equivalent of, like, if the Chiefs met the Panthers in the Super Bowl and someone on the Chiefs ripped the Panthers franchise because they're not successful.
It'd be great if they did that. If it was like, hey, the only time the Panthers got here, Cam Newton didn't dive on the fumble. That'd be hilarious.
So
everybody would like that.
Quickly, Mountain West news. Mountain West has announced the football scheduling agreement with Oregon State and Washington State.
Oh,
so, nice. So it's official. The 7+1's official?
Mountain West announced football scheduling agreement with, this is from the Mountain West, Oregon State and Washington State, 2024 season. Next season, all 12 Mountain West teams will play 7 traditional conference games, 1 additional contest against one of those two teams for a total of 8 games, 4 home and 4 away.
Does it confirm that
OSU and WSU will not count towards the conference standings, and neither Pac-12 schools is eligible for the Mountain West championship game? The Mountain West is currently working on this football schedule and will release matchups soon.
Does it mention anything about the monetary compensation? Because I think I saw an article that said $14 million.
That was Yahoo's
Ross Dellinger.
This does not. This is just has a long quote from Gloria Navarez about the matchups. Scheduling agreement strengthens the league's non-conference schedule. We look forward to having Oregon State and Washington State be part of the 2024 slate.
Let me give you a really quick theory on the Boise State media notes. The line about the 1984 team using ineligible players and basically saying it doesn't count, that is specifically for UNLV's media relations department.
You think they're taking shots at,
yes,
UNLV's?
Here's from the UNLV media guide about the 1984 team. Still the winningest team in UNLV Division I history at 11-2.
Yeah.
They forfeited all of those wins because they used ineligible players.
And I think the year before or the year after
the
that season.
Yeah, they were 7-4 and forfeited all of them. So basically, you have UNLV claiming this championship, And Boise State in their media notes is like, wait, calm down, media relations department at UNLV. You don't get to claim that championship. The NCAA said you had an illegal team. So, no, you don't get that one. You only have one. What a note. Coming up next, it's Bischoff's
Buffoonery.
It's Bischoff's Briefs, brought to you by Paul Pata Law. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery. Bischoff's Briefs.
Speaking as an extremely clever person, I feel a bit personally attacked by the concept of an evil genius. Anti-intellectualism is rife in the world today, encouraged no small amount by a media concerned that their advertisers' claims that their breakfast cereal induces hallucinogenic bliss in woodland creatures might not hold up to rigorous academic study.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Well, let's see how far your street smarts and common sense get you when you need someone to figure out how to turn a city-sized clod of oceanic waste plastic into drinkable water and hospital-grade insulin.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Just because I'm smarter than everyone else doesn't mean I look down on people. Someone has to make my sandwiches. Just because I can envision a vastly more efficient society with myself as absolute dictator doesn't mean I want to go to that amount of trouble. Just because I ordered the installation of an oubliette in my basement doesn't mean I have sinister intentions for it.
Bischoff's Briefs.
So stop asking questions and get your jackhammer out.
Ed, you remember Sploosh?
How could I forget the Sploosher?
Sploosh says to me, you're 100% right on this. Ed is just showing his age, and Danny is still a bleeping idiot.
Sploosher. Woosher, doucher.
Thanks for checking in, Sploosh.
Yeah, thanks for checking in,
I love you, Sploosh.
What's your real name?
I love you, Sploosh. All right. I got a little bit of analysis for you, for UNLV football. They're going to play Boise State. My main concern is I don't know how good UNLV's defense actually is, because so far this year, UNLV's defense has performed really well. But for the most part, they've performed extremely well against terrible offenses and have struggled a little bit against good offenses. So far this season, they lost three games, Michigan, San Jose State, and Fresno State. Those are the only three teams ranked in the top 70 in offensive efficiency on their schedule. So UNLV lost three games. All three were to the three best offenses they played. Michigan, by the way, ranked 9th, San Jose State 48th, Fresno State 62 in offensive
and
efficiency.
The three best quarterbacks.
And Boise State is 33rd. This is the second best offense they're going to play the entire season. Only Michigan is better. And if you throw that away, because it's Michigan.
Because it's Michigan.
It's the best offense they will play the entirety of the season. UNLV's defense this year got worse as the season went on, and specifically worse as they played better teams. Their run defense specifically, if you look at yards per carry by month, 3.4 in September, 4.4 in October, 4.8 in November. Rushing yards allowed per game went from 115 to 126 to 216. When UNLV played a team that ended this year with a losing record, they gave up 118 rushing yards a game and 3.4 yards per carry. Against teams with a winning record, 186 yards per game and 5 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. The run defense got a lot worse as the season went on. It got a lot worse when they played good
teams. Now,
one of those games was
Air Force.
It was.
Who runs against everyone. I get that.
Beyond the run defense, UNLV had 17 sacks in the first 6 games of the season. They had 7 in the second 6 games of the season. Interceptions, first half of the season, 9. Second half, 4. Tackles for loss, 38. Dropped to 23. Pass breakups, 21. Dropped to 11. Almost all of their defensive stats got worse as the season went on, and significantly worse. Not like a slight drop-off. Got significantly worse as the season went on because the schedule got harder. This is the best defense UNLV has had since I've lived here in 20 years, longer than I've lived here, right? It's a good defense compared to the rest of UNLV's history. But in terms of winning this game against Boise State, I don't know if this defense is actually one of the best in the Mountain West that can beat Boise mm-hmm. State, because all their other games against offenses as good or slightly worse than Boise State, they have lost the game and the defense hasn't looked
well.
Great.
And they're going to be tested like heck against that running back.
Yeah. Ashton Gentry averaged 110.9 rushing yards per game this season. Boise State as a team ran for 207, so they've got basically another 100
somewhere
after him. They just came off a game last week where Kerry Robinson of San Jose State had 168 yards. Average 9.9 yards per carry, by the way. Didn't do that on but 16 carries. So they're coming off a game where they got torched by the second best running back in the Mountain West in Robinson, and now play the best running back in the Mountain West. We've seen the defense play really well, but we haven't really seen it against the good offenses that they've played. So I'm very curious to see how does this UNLV defense play in this game, because good offenses have actually had a decent amount of success against UNLV so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, all true. And I watched last week's game. I covered last week's game, and he just torched them.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought of when they got Boise was the running back for Boise State, and he's as good as there is. I mean, he's one of the best players in the country.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, like, you're right. They haven't. It's almost like these teams who don't beat anyone that's good and only beat the teams with the losing records. They've had a little of that this year.
Yeah.
So
here's the optimism side for UNLV. They basically obliterated all of the bad teams on their schedule. Like Colorado State's
40
maybe
plus several times.
Colorado State's maybe the one where you look at and say that's not a very good team and they need a last second field goal. But all the other bad teams, they crushed them. Even Wyoming wasn't that bad this year. They're a solid team, and UNLV blew them out.
So they're the Dallas Cowboys of the Mountain West.
But they also played close games against the good teams.
Right.
Not counting Michigan. They're thrown away because that's not the same level. But they lost the game to Fresno State, but they had the ball inside the 10 on the final drive to try to tie that game. San Jose State, they were getting beat pretty handily, but they had a comeback.
They came back.
They actually had the ball and a chance to go win it.
Air Force, they came back together and actually won it.
Yeah, Air Force. So when they've played the good teams or the better teams in the Mountain West, it's not like they've lost those games by 15, 17, 20 points. They've been in those games. So there's no reason to think UNLV is going to lose to Boise State by 14, right? I think this is going to be a final possession type of game. I think we're getting somebody's losing by 3, 4, 7 points and has the ball with 2 minutes to go to try to tie or win.
Now, I will say this. If the defense in the second half at Air Force shows up, they've got a good chance.
Yeah.
They held Air Force to like 86 yards in the second half.
That is still one of the weirdest games I've ever seen.
Air Force destroyed them in the first half.
Ran all over. Well, no, first four drives was three and outs for Air Force.
No, but once they got going.
And then they had
five straight scoring drives.
Where it looked like UNLV wasn't going to stop them for the rest of
the game. But in the second half,
didn't
totally flipped the script.
One of the weirdest things I've ever seen. So, yeah, I'm curious to see, but I think we're getting a really close game where somebody's going to have a final minute drive to try to win the game or tie the game, whatever, to try to win the game, and should be a good Mountain West championship. Because Boise State, even though they're good, they're not a dominant Boise State.
It's not the Boise State that we've known.
Right. If this was, you know, UNLV could have had it this same season, and then, okay, you're playing Boise State, and this is one of the 11-1 Boise States,
right,
you'd be like, all right, you're probably losing that game, even if you play well. But that's not this Boise State team, but they're still good enough, and they're still, despite the record, one of the best teams in the Mountain West. And UNLV has struggled, lost some of those games, but did beat Air Force. So I think it'll be a really good game.
It's going to be a very fun game.
You got a prediction for who wins?
I think Boise wins.
Should they be favored? It's in Vegas. I know we've talked about the home crowd and everything, but it is in Vegas.
Yeah, I think there's still the perception about UNLV and who they've beaten on the year. And I think Boise State still gets the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying they should, but I think the books still give Boise the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I would say it's probably correct because, again, last week wasn't a good game. They lost. The week before that, they needed the best single half they've played arguably all season to come away with a win against Air Force. And without that half, they're not in this game. So
you got a prediction?
Probably about right.
UNLV 31, Boise State 30. Jose Pisano walk-off.
Oh, you're just,
43
yards. Jose Pisano. It's a Jose Pisano.
Wow, you even said the yard mark.
To clinch the Lou Groza Award.
Well,
I don't know when they announced that thing, but to clinch the Lou Groza Award, Jose Pisano walks it off with a game-winning field goal. Meanwhile, that Alabama kicker, Will Reichard, misses a game-winning field goal attempt against Georgia to knock him out.
Do they file a petition if he doesn't win it?
Who?
The Alabama kicker?
No, the Auburn fans are going to file the damn petition because their guy didn't even get in the nominations. So I think UNLV wins. Close game. Jose Pisano's the difference in the game.
Ricky White's receiving yard prop, 114 and a half. And Gentry's rushing prop is only 77.
You have to bet the under on Ricky White, right?
Gentry's only 77?
Yeah. And the other Boise State running back is 76.
I know I just predicted UNLV to win the game, but I feel like you have to bet the under on Ricky White and you have to bet the over on Gentry.
Well, Ricky White is going to get that on his opening drive catch and then his opening second half catch.
But it's just such an insane total to be put at.
Yeah.
That I feel like you just have to bet the under just as a rule.
And by the way, no other receiving prop is over 32.
Right. Yeah, it shouldn't be.
No.
It shouldn't be. That's a crazy number. 114 and a half is a crazy number. All right.
Well, he's going to get 78 on the first play of the game.
Right,
so.
Probably. Well, they're going to throw it.
Yeah.
Boise State might figure it out and be
Boise
like,
Boise State might have watched film and said, wait a second, they're probably going to throw deep on first down.
Let's cover him. All right, Cassie Soto joins the show next.
I'm sore. There's no doubt about that. And we got some work to do tonight. And I was saying to Todd, tomorrow, you know, get back in the gym and, activate and get ready for it. Hopefully hit some better shots. And now I know mentally what I need to do better. You know, physically, I knew I was going to be okay. Mentally, I was really rusty and made a lot of errors in the mind, and normally I don't make.
Back to the Finley Toyota Studios for Graney and Bischoff on the Press Box.
Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to go to the Mountain West Championship game tomorrow as UNLV takes on Boise State at Allegiant Stadium. We do not have Cassie Soto. Do not know where she disappeared to. She has a real job now, so maybe she's actually working instead of talking to us, which is a massive disappointment. But in the meantime, Ed, do you have a prediction ahead of conference championship games as to who the four teams in the college football playoff will be?
I'm going to say, because no one's talking about them, and that would be scary to me, Georgia, Michigan, Oregon. You know what? This is going to sound crazy because I think Louisville is going to beat Florida State. I'll say Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, and Ohio State.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So Florida State would get their one loss, and that would be the end of
them.
They could
get no losses, and still that would
that
be the end of them.
That could happen, too. But in that scenario, Ohio State stays ahead of Texas?
I think they do. Even if Texas wins the Big 12 championship, I know. They're ahead of them.
I don't know if they would put them in, though.
I don't know. Just saying, that's my prediction.
All right, well, with those four, is that your order?
Yeah, Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, Ohio State, yeah.
Okay.
So Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan, Oregon. Boy, I'd like to see Michigan, Oregon.
We are on the same page for the top three. I think Georgia, Michigan, and Oregon all win this week, and all three with a win
are in.
Put themselves in. It's that fourth spot that's interesting. If Florida State wins, if Florida State wins, they're going to put them in.
I preface that with I think Florida State's losing. I think they're going to lose to Louisville.
But if they win, they're going to put them in.
Well, they're undefeated, so it's hard to keep them out.
Yeah. I said it earlier this week. College football is the one sport we have where we actually have a subjective group of people put teams into the playoff. Every other sport we have, I mean the NCAA tournament too, but every other sport we have, it is you win your division, you win your conference, you have the top eight record or whatever it is, gets you in. In college football, we have the subjectivity, so you can leave out Florida State. If they win a one-point game over Louisville, you can leave them out and say, sorry, we know you're undefeated, but your quarterback is hurt and is not able to play. But I think they will put them in if they win, so I'm kind of cheering for them to lose because I don't want to see them. I think in your scenario, they have to put Texas in. Unless Texas loses, obviously. I think they have to put Texas
in. By winning a Big 12 championship.
One loss Big 12 champion with the win over Alabama.
Yeah.
I think they'd have to put them in over Ohio State, who would not have won.
Who would not have played.
Yeah, would have not won a conference championship. Yeah, would have not played this weekend. Whew, man. So, here's the fun part about this weekend. The top eight teams all have a path, right? Like, you just laid out Ohio State getting in over Texas, but even if they like Texas more, you could have your scenario play out, And then if Oklahoma State knocks off Texas, Ohio State is in. Ohio State's in as the four if Texas loses
exactly.
in your scenario.
Yes.
So Ohio State still has a path. Alabama, obviously, at eight, they have a path. We'll see what the committee does. But if they beat Georgia, they'll have a legitimate claim. So it's fun that we are down to the last weekend and eight teams still have a legitimate path to the national championship. And at least seven of those teams are playing this weekend. This is what is fun about college football, is when you get moments like this. And it also sucks because there are teams, Florida State, Texas, and Alabama. Those are three teams that could win this weekend and still not get in.
Absolutely.
Which absolutely sucks for those teams.
Yes.
But they could be, those three teams could be either undefeated in Florida State's case or one loss conference
Texas.
Champions in Texas or Alabama and potentially still be left out. That would be brutal across the board.
Now, what are the odds? We talked about this, and Danny said this yesterday. Georgia's number one. They've been number one forever. They lose a really close game to Bama. Would you go 1-5 with them? That's really tough because I think there's a huge SEC bias.
I don't know what they do because this is...
Because I think Alabama would get in as the SEC champion.
This is the first year that there have been so many teams you could say are deserving. Like in the past, you would have Georgia number one, and okay, they lost to the number eight team, one loss Alabama. We're going to keep them in. But normally it's because in the past, when you get past like the fifth or sixth team, it's a bunch of like two and three loss teams.
Right.
This year, we're through eight, and all of them
have
a
legitimate
claim.
Yeah, we're talking about eight making it or not.
So there's just, I think they might, but there's just so many other teams that you can easily point to as deserving if Georgia loses. Like, I think Georgia's better than Texas, even if they lose. But you can point to Texas and be like, okay, they beat Alabama. You lost
at
Alabama,
I believe.
Yeah, and Texas won their conference championship. You didn't. Texas is ahead of you. Normally in the past, you don't have that team sitting at six.
Right.
This year you do, so I think it's more precarious for Georgia.
It's sitting at seven.
Yeah.
Texas is seven.
Yeah, and like Michigan's sort of in the same spot too. I think Michigan losing would be a lot easier to leave them out because they lose to Iowa and not...
Who's not supposed to score a touchdown according to the book.
Oh, my
Michigan's
God.
Demoted if they lose.
Are you, Danny, are you betting this? I don't know. I can't remember which sports book
really,
this is.
I really, really want to.
I can't remember which sports book this is, but the Action Network tweeted out, Iowa's team total in the first half, 0.5.
I believe that's DraftKings.
Iowa's team total in the second half, 0.5.
And at Circa, here in Las Vegas, their game total is 6.5.
God, I just love that you can bet them to just not score a point
right.
in either half, or both halves if you want it to. That's phenomenal.
I mean, they've got to at least get one field goal, right?
UNLV scored on Michigan.
UNLV scored multiple times on Michigan, didn't they?
No, they only got
the
one touchdown.
No, they lost 35-7?
Yeah.
I thought it was 10.
They got a fourth quarter touchdown when it was backups on
when
backups.
When Jaden Maiva was in.
They scored. That's right. He
was
starting quarterback.
Score.
Backups,
in.
Future starting quarterback. But yeah, they did score on him. So.
Okay, so the William Hill finally put up stuff. Yeah, they're 6.5. You can actually bet them. You can bet them to not score at +185.
+180. It's not even that good of a bet.
No.
It's
or
only +180.
If you believe in miracles, you can take them for their highest point total, over 12.5.
Oh, no, get it. Take it
at +365.
Take it.
Put a little juice
take
on
it,
that one, Danny. Come on, Danny. Put a little something on that one.
12.5? They can get there, Danny.
Their actual number is 6.5.
They can get there.
Danny, you got to take the 12.5.
Over 12.5.
You got to put a little something on the 12.5.
Iowa to win just one half is 4-1. To win both halves is 30-1. So to win the game.
Oh, that's great.
I think you should put a little on the 12.5.
I think I'm not going to do that.
I don't know.
I don't trust them to get 13 points.
Why not?
They could barely get 13 points in a
think
standard
game. Think of the value
game.
On that baby.
What did they do against Nebraska?
Here you
Wasn't
go.
Wasn't it like 13-10?
Danny. Last four games, Michigan has allowed at least 13 points in all four of them.
Okay, and how many of them had worse offenses than
Purdue?
Iowa? Not a worse offense.
Team. They lost Aiden O'Connell. They're terrible now on offense. Maryland.
That is a big loss.
Yeah. Oh, they're bad. Now, don't look at the games before that because they didn't give up 10 in any of the other games this season. But the last four, all of them over 13. Good God, Michigan was good.
Yeah.
I know the schedule was easy, but this is their points allowed. 3-7-6-7-7-10-7-0.
And you know what those three of those four have in common? No Jim Harbaugh. He's back.
Oh, that is a good point.
That is true.
He's back.
No Harbaugh, they gave up 15, 24, and 24.
Oh, yeah. Played good teams, though.
Yeah, Maryland's in there.
So the spread, the actual spread's down to 21.5 now.
Oh, Pete, money's coming in on the
Hawkeyes. It was 23.5 earlier this week.
Yeah, Danny, Iowa out here, 13 points, 15 points, 22.
Yeah.
10.
Who was it against?
Ignore that. 15, 20, 26.
Who is it against?
They got shut out by Penn State.
Yeah.
31, 20.
They got shut out by Penn State, and didn't Michigan dismantle Penn State?
Yeah, that's fine. You got 12.5 is nothing, Danny. Nothing.
I put some money on it.
That's asking
put a 20
for,
spot on it.
That's asking for the biggest Christmas miracle of all time.
20 spot on it, baby.
Not
Come on.
A chance. I'd rather put that in a slot machine. I'd probably have a better chance at winning.
God, Iowa sucks. Like, they're miserable. I'm happy they exist. I'm happy there is a team out there that legitimately can't score points but is actually competent at winning football games. Because they're just hilarious. They're like the Patriots offense, but they kind of score some, they kind of win some games, which is phenomenal work.
I want to take a Michigan minus 29.5 points. It's 2-1.
I wouldn't do that. Iowa's not giving up 30.
They lost 31-0 to Penn State.
Gonna lock them down. That was in Penn State.
They're
probably,
gonna
maybe.
They're gonna lock down
remember.
Some good punts. That's
they were,
what they're
Michigan
gonna do.
Doesn't have their signs anymore, Danny. They used to have their signs. Now they don't have them. No chance. Oh, 12.5 is going to be easy. All right. We got tickets to give away to a game that should have more than 12.5 points in it. UNLV Boise State, the Mountain West title game, tomorrow at noon at Allegiant Stadium. And we've got two tickets for you. 702-364-1100. That's the phone number. If you want to go to the Mountain West championship game, call in now. 702-364-1100. We'll take caller number 9 at 702-364-1100.
You're on the elevator up to the press box with Graney and Bischoff.
I don't know what's happening. All I was
either.
Told is we have a guest and we'll see. Who are we talking to?
Who is it?
Hello.
Oh no.
Cassie.
She called while I was talking, so I wasn't able to see her call in the last segment. So
do I still have
back.
2 seconds to redeem myself, or are you over me?
Nah, go ahead.
Yeah,
what do you whatever. Got for
you got about 3.5 minutes.
You got another meeting going on?
No, I was actively getting my makeup done for a wedding in Jalisco, Mexico. So,
nice.
I'm just a little busy over here.
Is that where you're at?
Yeah, I'm in Mexico.
Oh,
wow.
Long distance.
Good for you.
I'm calling internationally, so I don't know how much this charge is going to be. But
you
guys
don't have,
are worth it.
You don't have free calls from Mexico?
I don't know how it works. I had to turn my roaming on. I don't know.
So this is what married couples do now. You go to more weddings?
More weddings. Yeah, he brought me to Mexico.
Wow, the husband. How many times do you now tell people, just to tell people this is my husband?
It's very weird. He keeps introducing me. So, like, husband and wife sounds normal, but in Spanish, when he calls me his esposa, it sounds like we're 80. So it's very weird. Very weird.
I figured everyone you know would have already been married by now, because that's what happened to me. I've been
no.
to all of my friends' weddings and everybody, but we're the last ones to get married.
No. This is his cousin, and then there's like two more weddings next year.
Oh,
geez.
Yeah, no. We kind of kicked it off. A couple cousins are already married, but they did like the smaller stuff. But yeah, no, the big ones are ramping up.
I guess Brandy's the oldest of all of her cousins, so I'm probably going to be going to a lot in the future.
Yes, definitely.
That's going to be gross.
Are you in the state of Jalisco or the city?
The city that we're in is called Zapopan.
Oh, okay.
So we're like 45 minutes away from the big city of Guadalajara, like that where the airport is.
Yeah, that's where my fiance's family's from.
Zapopan or Guadalajara?
Guadalajara.
Oh, very good. Guadalajara. Strong G.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Guadalajara Castle.
Guadalajara. Guadalajara.
Yeah, I can't do all the accents now.
You're the reason UNLV's only sold 15,000 tickets to the Mountain West Championship game, because you're in a different country.
I'm heartbroken. I'm devastated.
And I haven't seen any tweets from her propping it up, so yeah. She's not even trying.
I'm devastated. I don't want to think about it. I'm so sad.
Hey, do you remember when I told you shouldn't get married in the fall?
Okay, relax.
Look what happened, Cassie.
Well, now we're in the winter. They shouldn't be getting married in winter. The fall was fine.
It's not technically winter yet.
My wedding, mine was the Colorado State weekend. Their actual mount, the championship weekend. And I mean, who could have predicted this?
They had to win that game to be in the conference championship. You could consider that the conference championship.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. I watched part of that on Adam Hill's phone, too.
You, Andy, and Adam,
yes,
were all around the table watching it?
Yes, we watched Jose Pisano kick a game-winning field goal. Very
that's
important.
That's fine.
One thing I did want to bring up before the show ends. I got one of the fun emails from public relations people being like, hey, we did this fun study, and Allegiant Stadium got ranked as, I think it was the 7th most bougie stadium in the NFL, but they were number 2 in bathroom bouginess. And I think that's your credit.
Is there a round of applause sound, Danny, you can play real quick? That's all me.
Don't worry about it,
Yay.
Danny. Don't worry.
No, he's looking for it.
No. I did it.
I know no. where there
I'm
is
1,000% taking credit for that.
For anybody that's unaware, Cassie was on our show, this is like 2 or 3 years ago.
And yeah, it was before the stadium opened to the public, I think.
Told us that she went in the bathrooms at Allegiant Stadium. There were no toilet seat covers. So she then tracked Mark Davis down at some event and told him that there need to be toilet seat covers. And the next time, there were toilet seat covers.
Yeah.
In the bathrooms
he said, is that important for you? I said, yeah, just a little bit. And the next thing I knew, they were everywhere.
So
you're welcome, ladies.
Because it can't be a bougie bathroom without toilet seat covers.
No.
Absolutely no. not. Absolutely yeah. not.
So Cassie Soto, Allegiant Stadium, bougie bathrooms. There is your legacy.
Toilet seat cover connoisseur.
Yeah. All right.
Love it.
Our show is going to end soon. Enjoy your wedding in Mexico.
Have a fun time.
Thanks.
With the as you're the are you the esposa?
Yeah.
I'm the esposa. I'm an esposa. I soy señora.
All right.
We're going to spend the rest of the show.
Bien.
We're going to spend the rest of the show saying Guadalajara. Thanks, Cassie.
Okay. Bye. Adios.
So there's Cassie Soto live from Mexico.
I'm not saying Guadalajara. I'm not saying that.
No, you gotta not pronounce the G.
Guadalajara?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, but I was going to say we should, you know, yell at her because she didn't answer the phone when he called her, but I'll give her a break. She's in
Mexico. I'll give her credit. She's in Mexico, and she called us from there.
Yeah.
Good for her.
We'll give her a
break. Also, very brave of her to call international without knowing what her international calling is.
It should be fine.
It should be free.
Nah, she wasn't on that long. She's fine.
Well, no, but it should be free regardless.
Yeah, she should be fine.
It depends. It probably depends on when she got her current phone plan.
I guess. But, I mean, I went to Mexico a couple of years ago, and I didn't have to do anything special.
No, I was in Europe and just except picked when up I, the phone and called people.
Except when I tried to log into ESPN+, Plus, it was all Spanish sports instead of American sports.
Also, just do Wi-Fi calling.
Yeah, you can do that. I'm sure that's what she did. They got Wi-Fi wherever she's getting her makeup done, hopefully. And that's how she called us. Thanks, Cassie.